Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners. So we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, you will hear stories from Jill Robbins and Brian Lynn. We end our program with another episode of The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Pete Musto.
Rising sea levels could flood Hawaii's famous Waikiki Beach and the city streets of Honolulu in the next 15 to 20 years. That information comes from a state climate commission. The commission also shared a video showing how flooding and erosion already affect many parts of Hawaii. That is not good news for a state where tourism is the main driver of the economy. Hawaiian lawmakers are trying to pass new laws that would involve spending millions of dollars to protect coastlines and cities from rising tides. State Representative Chris Lee has put forward a bill calling for a coastline protection plan. He said the latest data on sea level rise is quite scary, and it's accelerating faster than we ever thought possible. Lee added that the program would center on Honolulu, Hawaii's capital. But it could become a test program for other coastal communities around the state. Hawaii has rarely been directly hit by hurricanes. However, Lee writes in the bill that warming oceans increase the risk of hurricanes for the state. The bill estimates that if a major hurricane made landfall in Hawaii, it would cost $40 billion for the state to recover. The proposed legislation is similar to action taken by New York City in 2012 after a major storm led to $19 billion in damage in the city. The Hawaii bill also seeks more research into a carbon tax that could raise money and lower the state's dependence on fossil fuels. Democrats lead both houses of Hawaii's legislature. The state traditionally has taken a leading role on climate issues. Lee said state lawmakers are to meet in the coming weeks to discuss final changes before sending the bill to Hawaii Governor David Ige. Ige, who is also a Democrat, has not said whether he would sign the bill. The bill comes 2 years after the Sea Level Rise Adaptation Report was made public as a guideline for future legislative action and planning. Research included in the report suggests Hawaii will see nearly a 1 meter rise in ocean levels by the end of this century. It predicts that more than 6,000 of the state's buildings and 20,000 people across all of Hawaii's islands will experience continuing flooding. I'm Pete Musto.
Many movie critics are giving high praise to Avengers Endgame, the final film in the superhero series from Walt Disney's Marvel Studios. As of Tuesday, all but one of 56 Endgame critiques on the Rotten Tomatoes website were rated as positive. USA Today's Brian Truitt called the 3-hour film glorious. He especially praised the time travel part of the story. He said the movie includes returns to past happenings, which will please fans of superheroes like Iron Man and Thor. But it's also a singular story, Truitt said. The final film begins where last year's Avengers Infinity War ended, when several beloved heroes appeared to turn to dust. CNN's Brian Lowry said Endgame is a winning finish. The filmmakers have sought to reward moviegoers with a spectacle that's epic in every way, Lowry said. He also wrote that there are several real surprises in the movie, and a lot of humor and emotional moments as well. A.O. Scott of The New York Times said the movie provides a sense of ending, even though many characters are expected to return in future films. Scott wrote, "We've lived with these characters and the actors playing them for more than 10 years. He added, "For the most part, it's nice to see them again, and a little sad to say goodbye." Esther Zuckerman of Thrillist agrees. Endgame reinforces that there's still a beating heart beneath all the machinery, she wrote. Not everyone is pleased with the new film, however. Barry Hertz of Canada's Globe and Mail newspaper calls Avengers Endgame shockingly boring. Movie experts say the film may break records for opening weekend ticket sales in the United States and Canada. That record now stands at $257.7 million, set by Avengers Infinity War.
The ideal body is often presented as one with a stomach, having no fat, or better yet, defined muscles. Many have tried to reach that goal by spending time exercising and paying money to join a gym. Some change their diet or simply eat less. Others just give up and gain weight as a result. Now, doctors at the University of Miami's Leonard M. Miller School of Medicine think they have found an answer. They have created a new plastic surgery process that could replace all that hard work. It is called abdominal etching. The process is explained in a recent study in the Journal of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons. The study followed 26 men and 24 women who already had a healthy diet and got some exercise, but all had unwanted stomach fat. The average age of the patient was 36. During the surgery, doctors removed fat from different parts of a body using a process called liposuction. Then they moved the fat around and etched lines in the stomach to make them appear to be the outline of muscles. Men usually have 6 muscle lines and women have 3. Patients could choose to have the muscles more defined or more rounded for a softer look. After the surgery, the patients appeared to have the stomach of a person who spends hours exercising every day. Stomach fat is the hardest fat to lose on the body. It is deeper inside the body than leg or hip fat, and it often increases with age. Recently, several non-surgical fat-reducing processes have become popular in the United States. Called body sculpting, they include freezing fat or hitting it with radio waves. Both processes supposedly kill fat cells in the body, but they cannot get to that deep stomach fat that abdominal etching removes. After the surgery, patients had to follow a lot of rules. They had to cover their surgery scars with pieces of tight foam for several weeks to keep the lines in place. They also needed many appointments with doctors to check for problems. 1 month after the surgery, they still have to exercise every day and keep to a diet for up to 6 years. So if you hate exercise or diet, this surgery might not be the one. You cannot simply walk out of the hospital with great abdominal muscles and go home, sit on a chair, and do nothing. I'm Jill Robbins.
We have recently heard some interesting ways that 5G wireless technology might change our lives in the future. 5G promises internet speeds between 50 to 100 times faster than current 4G systems. The technology was also built to handle many more users without slowing wireless services down. Such improvements are sure to be popular for 5G users worldwide. While 5G is set to launch in some limited areas of the United States this year, much of the rest of the world is not expected to receive widely available service until 2023. One project in Britain, though, is already testing this super-fast technology, but not on humans. Instead, the experiment involves an unlikely group of internet users, cows. The system connects the animals to 5G in an effort to automate the milking process. The project was developed by American technology company Cisco Systems. It is part of a Cisco-led program called 5G Rural First. The project also receives money from the British government. Cisco says the program seeks to explore the future of 5G connectivity in rural communities around the world. Rural areas are expected to be the last to receive 5G service. Testing areas were set up at farms in three rural areas of England. The cows are equipped with 5G-connected devices that link up to a robotic milking system. The system uses sensors and machine learning to fully automate the process. System designers say technology takes over after a cow feels ready to be milked and walks toward an automatic gate. The device is designed to recognize each individual cow. It then positions equipment to the right body position for milking. During the process, machines release food for the cow as a reward. One of the test areas is in the town of Shepton Mallet in southwest England. There, about 50 of the farm's 180 cows are fitted with 5G smart collars and health-observing ear sensors. Project officials say the devices do not harm the cows, and the sensors permit farmers to immediately identify any problems or health concerns. Duncan Forbes heads the government-funded Agriculture Engineering Precision Innovation Center in Shepton Mallet. He told Reuters that so far, he thinks the project shows the farm's cow operations can be greatly improved with 5G technology. "We are testing the ability of 5G to transmit the data from our sensors much quicker and not via the farm's PC and a slow wireless connection, he said. Forbes added that the experiment provides strong evidence that 5G technology can be widely used in the future, not just on farms, but in rural communities right across the country. Other technology tools powering the 5G smart farms include automated brushes that turn on when the cow rubs up against them. Sensors also control the amount of light to the cow's living areas depending on the weather. And an automatic feeding system makes sure the animals always get enough to eat. Nick Chrysos works on the project for Cisco. He said the system can connect every cow and every other animal on the whole farm. That's what 5G can do for farming, really unleash the power that we have within this farm, everywhere around the United Kingdom, and everywhere around the world. I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. The years after World War I were an important turning point in the making of the American nation. The country turned away from the problems of Europe. Now, it would deal with problems of its own. Kay Gallant and Morris Joyce tell about the many changes in America during the early 1920s.
There was a presidential election in America in 1920. President Woodrow Wilson was not a candidate. He had suffered a stroke and was too sick. The two major candidates were Democrat James Cox and Republican Warren Harding. Voters had a clear choice between the two candidates. Cox supported the ideas of President Wilson. He believed the United States should take an active part in world affairs. Harding opposed the idea of internationalism. He believed the United States should worry only about events within its own borders. Warren Harding won the election. By their votes, Americans made clear they were tired of sacrificing lives and money to solve other people's problems. They just wanted to live their own lives and make their own country a better place.
This was a great change in the nation's thinking. For 20 years since the beginning of the century, the United States had become more involved in international events. Young Americans had grown up with presidents like Woodrow Wilson and Theodore Roosevelt. Both Wilson and Roosevelt had active foreign policies. Both helped start the nation on the road to becoming a major world power. Then came World War I. It was like a sharp needle that burst a balloon. The United States and the Allies won the war against Germany and the Central Powers. But thousands of American troops had died in the European conflict, and many months were taken up by the bitter debate over the peace treaty and the League of Nations. Most Americans did not want to hear about Europe and international peace organizations anymore.
Instead, Americans became more concerned with material things. During World War I, they had lived under many kinds of restrictions. The federal government had controlled railroads, shipping, and industrial production. At the end of the war, these controls were lifted. Industries that had been making war supplies began making products for a peacetime economy. Wages for most workers in the United States were higher than ever at the beginning of the 1920s. Men and women had enough money to enjoy life more than they had in the past.
Technology made it possible for millions of people to improve their lives. It also caused great changes in American society. Two of the most important new technologies were automobiles and radio. In the early years of the 20th century, automobiles were very costly. Each one was built separately by a small team of skilled workers. Most Americans did not have the money to own an automobile. Then Henry Ford decided to make cars everyone could buy. He built them on an assembly line. Cars were put together or assembled as they moved slowly through the factory. Each worker did just one thing to the car before it moved on to the next worker. In this way, the Ford Motor Company could build cars more quickly and easily, and it could sell them for much less money.
Before long, there were cars everywhere. All these cars created a need for better roads. Outside cities, most roads were made just of dirt. They were chokingly dusty in dry weather and impassably muddy in the rain. They were rough and full of holes. Few bridges connected roads across rivers and streams. America's new drivers demanded that these problems be fixed. So local and state governments began building and improving roads as they had never done before. As new roads were built, many new businesses opened along them. There were gasoline stations and auto repair shops, of course, but soon there were eating places and hotels where travelers could eat and sleep. In the 1920s, the United States was becoming a nation of car lovers.
Cars changed more than the way Americans traveled. They changed the way Americans lived. They removed some of the limitations of living conditions. For example, families with cars no longer had to live in noisy, crowded cities. They could live in suburbs, the wide open areas outside cities. They could use their car to drive to work in the city. Businesses moved too. No longer did they have to be close to railroad lines. With new cars and trucks, they could transport their goods where they wanted, when they wanted. They were no longer limited by train times. Cars also made life on farms less lonely. It became much easier for farm families to go to town on business or to visit friends.
Cars helped Americans learn more about their nation. In the 1920s, people could drive all across the land for not much money. Places that used to be days apart now seemed suddenly closer. Families that normally stayed home on weekends and holidays began to explore the country. They drove to the seashores and lakeshores, to the mountains and forests, to places of historical importance or natural beauty.
Not all the changes linked to the car were good, of course. Automobile accidents became more common and deadly. Other forms of transportation, such as railroads, began to suffer from the competition. Some railroads had to close down. Horses and wagons, once the most common form of transportation, began to disappear from city streets. There were not enough cars in the 1920s to cause severe air pollution, but the air was becoming less pure every year, and the roads were becoming more crowded and noisy.
The automobile greatly changed America's transportation. Radio greatly changed its communication. The first radio station opened in the state of Pennsylvania in 1920. Within 10 years, there were hundreds of others. There were more than 13 million radio receivers. Most of the radio stations were owned by large broadcasting networks. These networks were able to broadcast the same program to stations all over the country.
Most programs were simple and entertaining. There were radio plays, comedy shows, and music programs. But there also were news reports and political events. Millions of people who never read newspapers now heard the news on radio. Citizens everywhere could hear the president's voice. Like the automobile, radio helped bring Americans together. They were able to share many of the same events and experiences.
Radio also was a great help to companies. Businesses could buy time on radio programs for advertisements. In these ads, they told listeners about their products. They urged them to buy the products, cars, electric refrigerators, foods, medicines. In this way, companies quickly and easily created a nationwide demand for their goods. Automobiles and radios were not the only new technologies to change American life in the days after World War I. Still, one more invention would have a great effect on how Americans spent their time and money. That was the motion picture.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow for more stories and information from around the world. Thanks for listening. I'm Ashley Thompson.